Here we go. Tiny homes. You might have some feelings about them. Maybe you're like me and you love to scroll through Instagram, endlessly dreaming about what your life would look like in a sun-soaked 200 square foot slice of urban living. You know, a bed on the loft with white linen, a practical yet tasteful little kitchen, and a compost toilet, of course. Or maybe you think they're an annoying fad, just an excuse to make another HGTV reality show. Regardless of how you feel though, tiny homes can give us a window into a growing affordable housing crisis. This is More to Say. I'm Lee Hale. So this episode is part two of our look into affordable housing. If you didn't listen last week, then you know the drill. Hit pause, go listen, and then come back. If you did listen, then you know we've been reporting on questions sent in by you, our listeners, as part of KUER's Hivemind. Go online to check it out. I'm joined again by our intrepid reporter, Whitney Evans, and she's getting over a wicked illness.
Excuse me.
So there might be some coughs. Whit, just give us a lightning fast recap of what we talked about last time.
So last week we learned a lot about affordable housing. Basically, housing is only considered affordable if you're not spending more than 30% of your income on it. But in Utah, plenty of people are. And those new apartment complexes going up in Salt Lake City, well, they're not going up fast enough to keep up with growth. And many of them are still too expensive for people to afford.
And you rudely cut me off last week when I wanted to talk about tiny homes.
That's
I was
right.
excited about that. So there's three questions. We didn't get to the last one. And that last one came from our listener, Ryan Hightower. Ryan asked, are tiny homes a feasible option to increase affordable housing? So, are they?
Well, the short answer is maybe, but not right now. There are too many city codes and regulations that prevent people from living in tiny homes.
First off, let's define what a tiny home is exactly.
There's no real concise definition, but they're usually homes that have all the same amenities that a single-family home has, but they're very, very small, like under 500 square feet small. They usually cost between $10,000 and $30,000. In many cases, people can buy these homes and maybe build some equity. But the problem is that most cities in Utah, including Salt Lake, have strict rules about where you can put them.
So some cities haven't caught the tiny home dream. What are they worried about?
Well, they want to make sure these places are safe, right? And they also want to make sure that they fit into the neighborhood.
And in your reporting, you talked to somebody who attempted to live in a tiny home, right?
Yes. See, the weeds already tried to take it over.
I'm Meg Stevens, and I'm a tiny house owner and a real estate agent.
This is larger than some of the other tiny homes I've seen.
It's a 20 foot. You'll see inside. Watch your stuff. It's a big.
This is beautiful.
Thank you.
It smells like wood in here. It smells like, It smells really good.
Yeah, the ceiling is all aromatic cedar. That floor is cedar, this is cedar. The countertops we made, and then the floors are acacia.
So once it was built, once it was finished, we started searching for a place to park it. And eventually we found a piece of property in Murray that belongs to our dear friends, the Hurleys. And we ended up parking in their backyard, and they were extremely accommodating. They loved having us there, and we loved being there. So,
what was it like living there?
Oh, idyllic. So we had a 6-foot privacy fence around the back portion where the tiny house was parked. We were parked under this clump of willow trees. So inside the house, when you looked out, it felt like you were almost like in a tree house because you would look out and you'd see these branches trailing down from the tree on either side. From the loft where our bedroom was, you could see, nothing but leaves outside the window. And then we put in a huge garden last year when we were living there. So much so that we ended up canning and preserving most of it because we grew more than we could possibly eat, the two of us.
Yeah.
Okay, so that sounds like my dream. Peaceful, uncomplicated.
Yeah, and talking to Meg, you could really see her eyes light up when she described the house, right? But the light sort of dims when she describes what happens next.
One day, a guy was kind of peeking his head over the fence, and I thought it was, kind of an onlooker like anyone else. And so he asked me what it was and what I was doing there. And, so I explained to him the tiny house, and he said, oh, you live here? And I was like, yeah, we've lived here almost a year. And he said, well, it's a very strange place for a structure. And then a couple weeks later, on my husband's birthday, code enforcement showed up and they said that a neighbor had reported the tiny house, and they were there to check it out. And so we invited them in. We let them tour the tiny house. We talked to them about the building procedure and the codes that we had followed when we built it. They agreed that we had done a good job and built a good house, and they still shut us to occupancy that day. And we said, well, can we even go in and get some of our stuff? And they said, well, you have until 5 p.m. tonight. They gave us 4 hours to essentially pack up our entire life and find somewhere else to stay.
So what did you do?
We stayed with friends on couches, basically. We thought about renting, but instead we decided to pull the trigger on buying a piece of property and actually put an offer in sight unseen on a duplex in Sugar House, and then bought it 21 days later.
Okay, so I'm like feeling for her right now. Like, it would be terrible if a neighbor tattled on you that way. Basically, they said, no, you can't have this tiny home dream, right? You can't do this anymore.
They killed the dream.
But it's more than that, because, I mean, some people might be interested in tiny homes purely for the price. Like, this is an affordable way. So what about people who are just looking for this as an inexpensive thing?
Well, the rules and regulations still apply. I spoke to Kenna Jo Matthews with Utah County Habitat for Humanity. She works to build affordable homes for families. And their homes are pretty small, too, around 900 to 600 square feet. But they recently started eyeing these tiny homes as an option, too.
What happens is we have a lot of singles and couples that apply for our program. But because of the lack of resources that we have to oftentimes help families, because children have greater need often than singles and couples. So we started looking at different ways that we can maybe help that population. We feel like that would be the best opportunity for them.
So Habitat for Humanity, they seem into this tiny home thing, right? But like you said before, most cities seem like they're probably going to fight them on this.
They are. Most cities. Pleasant Grove, however, just passed an ordinance that allows tiny homes in the city. They just have to be on an existing lot, like in someone's backyard. They have to have a foundation, and they have to be hooked up to utilities. So you can't have, like, big extension cords trailing through the backyard.
So if Meg had been in Pleasant Grove, she probably would have been okay in that tiny home.
Potentially.
Gotcha. But Habitat's going to have to find a way to work it out with cities that aren't Pleasant Grove, like Salt Lake, that have these issues. How do they expect to make it happen?
Kenna has a vision.
I think one of the things that the cities are very concerned about is that they don't want to have them turn into RV parks or campgrounds or, you know, not maintained. And so I would look at kind of a tiny home village where we were, you know, where we had an HOA on the property. So we were making sure that it was maintained properly, taken care of.
This Habitat for Humanity vision with tiny homes, it's kind of new for me. Is any other organization trying to do this right now?
Not at all. It's happening in other cities across the country, but also in Utah. There is this group called Fresh Start Ventures, and they're trying to do tiny homes for people transitioning out of jail. And Habitat's basically working with them so they can get a lot of weight behind their ideas and get cities to change their policies. I'll let Kenna explain.
I think Habitat is a good organization to do this with because we're very involved with our families. We're the mortgage holder, and you know, we have a lot of oversight with our families. And so I think with Habitat, it might work because of the oversight. And I think if cities could see that and allow us to do that, I think it would be a very positive thing.
So what are cities afraid of? Because to me, it seems like tiny homes are literally just homes that are tiny, right? I mean, it's like cities have houses, they have apartments, they have condos. What are they worried about tiny homes specifically?
There are a lot of concerns when you're talking about a new kind of home being built in a city. One thing is they want to make sure they are built to code. They want to make sure that they're safe. And they want to make sure that these homes fit in with the neighborhood, right? Neighbors have a lot of concerns, especially neighbors in those traditional single-family home neighborhoods.
Yeah.
They want to make sure that their neighborhoods aren't overcrowded and that parking gets worse and worse.
That's, as you were talking, I was thinking about parking, because I could see how if there's a tiny home in every backyard, how the congestion on that neighborhood alone would get really frustrating.
But of course, any city that's growing as much as Salt Lake City is growing, for instance, is going to have some congestion issues. And more people are coming into Salt Lake City, and you can't prevent that influx of population. So right. You have to find a place to put people.
Right. Besides convincing cities to rethink their policies, What else might be preventing people from building tiny homes right now?
Well, right now, land is really expensive and building costs are up. But again, the smaller these homes are, the easier it should be, the less expensive it should be to find a place to put them and to build them.
And we were talking about this idea of like potentially a little tiny home community. And as you were saying that, I was thinking, isn't that basically a trailer park? I mean, like, it seems like tiny homes and trailers aren't too dissimilar.
You're not the only person who's asked this question. But actually, there's a huge difference. Mobile homes are often made pretty cheaply. They use inexpensive materials, and yet they're still pretty difficult to maintain. Tiny homes are built using all the same materials that you use to build a traditional home. It's just a smaller version.
So it sounds like there might be an opportunity here. Like, tiny homes could be more sustainable or more durable than the typical trailer. And maybe cities would be more open to saying yes to those. Is this becoming a trend, or is this just like a blip on the map, though, this tiny home movement thing?
I think some groups like Habitat for Humanity are starting to see tiny homes as a necessity. Utah lawmakers went into the legislative session this year knowing the state needed 40,000 affordable housing units, yet they didn't really set aside any money or draw up any major plan to deal with it. So it's kind of up to cities to make room, because obviously individuals and organizations are ready to start building small.
And that reminds me of an individual that we were talking about earlier, Meg. So she got evicted. What happened to her, and what happened to the tiny home that she was living in?
It's in her backyard, which is totally legal. She's just not allowed to live in it.
We might rent it out, use it like an Airbnb type thing. We might sell it. We don't know. Yeah. We haven't figured that out yet.
Would you still want to live in it?
If I could legally without the risk of losing my home again, I would. Anyone who's experienced losing their house through like fire damage or something like this, where you suddenly don't know where you're going to sleep that night, it's not an easy thing to jump back into.
So for Meg, it sounds like Utah was not the best place for her to try her tiny home dream. Are there places around the country where it could have worked?
Yeah, there are plenty of places. Obviously, you've got those progressive mainstays like Portland, as well as Austin, Texas. There are quite a few tiny home communities in Austin, Texas. And also in Detroit, Michigan, they started building tiny homes that people could rent to own eventually. And that seems to be working out okay for them.
Yeah. So Salt Lake City isn't quite up there yet with maybe Portland or Austin or Detroit. But I mean, have there been any signs that they might be more open to this sooner than later?
Well, I think elected officials see tiny homes as an option and in some cases a need for dealing with the affordable housing crisis. But there are quite a few steps they need to take before they get there, right? The Salt Lake City Council tried to expand an ordinance recently that would essentially make room for people to have tiny homes in their backyards. But neighbors pushed back. They're worried about a lot of things. They're worried about an influx of people moving into their neighborhood. They're worried about parking. And they're worried that a lot of these tiny homes will just become Airbnb stays.
All right, Whit. Well, we'll check in with you when we have some more tiny home news.
I'll keep my eye on it. Did I say eye weird?
More to Say is a production of KUER News. Our team is me, Lee Hale, Tim Slover, and our fearless host, Doug Fabrizio, who will be back soon, I promise. And if you want to submit a question for our Hive Mind series, go to our website, kuer.org, and let us know. Thanks.